We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante with Greg Pickle. This is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings is now offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino offers an endless number of casino games to play, all from the comfort and safety of home. And right now, all first-time casino players can play up to $200 risk-free for the first 24 hours of casino play. You get to play blackjack and roulette. And the really cool things with DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino, they offer special promotions every day, so you need to check in on the app daily. Here's how you get to play. You need to download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use promo code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games in your first 24 hours. That's promo code KSN. Play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. We do have a winner for our Ask Greg segment, and that is Don from Westlake, Ohio. Don had the question about our starting quarterback in a couple years. Don was looking ahead. An interesting question. All right, Greg, I wanted to chat with you a little bit more about the upcoming season. Now we have players reporting, players starting to work out. Is there any reason in the world to think we won't have a season?
I guess no, I don't think so right now. I guess my question, Jim, is there's been a lot of, and again, as we recorded this, it's June 16. We have not received any information yet from Penn State in regards to if any players that came back to campus tested positive. If players did test positive, how did they quarantine them or otherwise keep them away from the rest of the team? You know, we don't know those answers, but suffice it to say, it's there's no question that it's easier to keep those guys away from each other now than it will be during the fall once practices begin. And, you know, if your center comes down with COVID-19, you know, did he infect your entire offensive and defensive lines? You know, I don't know how that's going to work. So I think that somebody was saying, I was listening to a national analyst recently, and he was of the opinion that forfeits were going to become the norm this season because teams will maybe get to a point where they have too many players who test positive that they just don't have enough players to play. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but I would say that no, I'm no longer concerned about not having a college football season. I do think, though, you have to realize that it is not going to look anything like we are used to a college football season looking. You know, I think, and it'll vary by region, it'll vary by state, it'll vary by conference. You know, some states and schools and all that, they might allow 100% of capacity and not worry about social distancing and things like that because their governor or their you know, state legislator, whoever makes those decisions based on the state constitution, doesn't you know, say that social distancing has to happen at stadiums. Whereas here in Pennsylvania, you know, right now there are no fans at any sporting events. I don't know of any sporting events, large-scale ones outside of, you know, dirt tracks that have started up yet. I know Pocono is on the horizon, and we don't believe at this point in time that they'll have fans at that NASCAR race weekend, but maybe they will. I mean, Governor Tom Wolf has kind of said that if you send us a plan and we think it's safe and we're okay with it, we'll approve it, which would, you know, maybe go above and beyond the 250 person limit on gatherings that is currently in place. So some of the stuff, I think you just kind of throw your hands up at this point and say, you know, it's the middle of June. We have until early September to figure out some of this stuff. But, you know, on the other hand, with Penn State saying they're coming back to campus in some way, August 24, you know, it provides yet another reason for optimism that a college football season will be played. But my question is this, Penn State has yet to answer this question as well. If they are sending all the kids home to finish his semester remotely and online after the Thanksgiving break. What's that mean for the football team? Because there's two games left, one with Maryland, one at Rutgers after that point. So I don't know what that's going to mean. I assume they'll just spend a week on campus, play the Rutgers game, and then that'll be that, assuming we get to that point of the season. But my other question, Jim, is this. If so many colleges, Penn State included, are so concerned about a second wave coming in the winter there and in flu season, you know, are we even going to have bowl games, or will it just be a college football playoff and that'll be it? I don't know the answer to that question. It'll be interesting to follow, but, you know, there's a lot of decisions to be made here, and we're not running out of time to make them, but on the flip side, at some point here, some things have to start being written in pen and not just in pencil or in hypotheticals. You know, there's a lot of task forces that have been formed. There's been a lot of talking about people talking about things. It's time to get some more concrete plans in place here as we head toward the end of June.
Yeah, there definitely is. It's getting late quickly, and they have to start getting plans. I had somebody tell me that what the schools are doing in Penn State's no different. It's not a case of plan A and plan B. It's a case of plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan E, because there are so many variables. And you're right about having to be concerned about the bowl games and the playoffs if there's the fear of the return of the virus. But there's also this question I have of what will it look like if there's a reduced number of fans in the stands? If we're thinking, okay, it's not going to be capacity, it's going to be something less than that, how do you have 50,000 fans instead of 100,000 and have social distancing? Especially when you have bleacher seating. So it's not like, okay, you could tape off rows or seats and so on. How do you keep people from not gathering together? How do you keep people from not moving down into the better seats as they're available? I just don't know how the logistics of that would possibly work, Greg.
No, I don't either. And, you know, okay, so let's just say, for example, that Beaver Stadium can have somewhere between 35 and 50% of its normal capacity. I think 50 would be the absolute max they would allow in there. And I think 30 is probably the minimum. How is that going to work? You know, this would typically be the week, Jim, that Penn State would sell season student tickets. We have heard nothing about that yet. So how many students are going to be allowed to come in? You know, are they going to put season ticket holders into a lottery and decide, okay, you get to come to X, Y, and Z game, but not A, B, and C? How long do you have to decide if you're going to use your spot? You know, if they put 60,000 people into a drawing to pick 20,000 a game, 25,000, 30,000 a game, whatever. How long do you have to decide if you're going to take those spots before you have to give it up and it goes back into the pool? Conversely, what are we going to do when, you know, what if somebody gets sick, or what if somebody doesn't want to come sit in the rain? You know, they got season tickets from California and they plan to fly across the country, but the weather looks absolutely miserable and they can move that flight, so they do. I mean, I think you're going to end up with less than what the capacity you know, is supposed to be, unless you somehow find a way to have a game day standby list, which, you know, if they open up all the parking lots, I'm sure there'll be people who come and tailgate and watch the game in their car, or listen to Steve Jones and Jack Ham on the radio just for the heck of it. But, you know, will Penn State even find it safe to open all those parking lots? And then you got to keep in mind that if you do, you got to pay for extra staff that, you know, are basically policing people who are there to enjoy themselves and not go into the game. So there's just so much to figure out. And I know the logistics of it are hard, but you make a fair point. And it's, you know, again, it's the middle of June, but we'll be talking in 2 weeks and it'll be almost the end of June. And, you know, at some point here, they do have to start putting some plans in place that gives players, fans, student athletes, student population, etc., some concrete ideas about what all this is going to look like. And until that time, it's going to be all conjecture and hypotheticals and assumptions and so on and so forth. And, you know, it'll just be interesting to see, you know, once those plans are in place, what they look like, how it impacts people, and then again, how are they going to decide who gets to come to these games among the limited capacity crowds?
You know, you bring up some interesting points. One of them being, you talk in terms of a smaller crowd. So do they restrict the areas of tailgating? Well, that doesn't make sense. If what you're trying to do is create social distancing, you want to leave as much space open as possible, but reduce the numbers. I could see them saying, you know, unless you have a game day ticket, you're not allowed into the area to tailgate.
I could see that as well. But then you think of it from the other perspective is obviously money is going to be tight for everyone right now. And that includes universities and athletic departments. So would you want, what will the temptation be to get that parking money from people who aren't going to the game? But then, of course, you got to factor in once you pay for security and parking lot attendance and, things like that, trash pickup. Does it pretty much outweigh or basically completely offset the gains you could get from opening all that stuff? So I don't know. There's a lot of math that needs to be done. You know, the phrase that we heard so frequently, Jim, a while back was modeling, and we're modeling various situations, economic simulations, and trying to figure out what it all is going to look like and what is the most practical model for safety and which model blends safety and revenue together the best. And there's a lot of people who are probably making a pretty good amount of money to make these decisions and make these models up, and they have to be right. They have to be right from a safety and a health perspective first, but then also how can you maximize the amount of money the university can bring in and also maximize public health and public safety. Because once you find the thing that brings those two together the best, that's going to be the plan you have to take to go forward and try and salvage whatever you can from this year and hope that by 2021, we're not worried about this anymore, that we have a vaccine, that we have better public health protocols in place so that things can open up again and open up safely and everyone can feel free to go out and about and do what they need to do, including potentially a Penn State football Saturday at Beaver Stadium.
Well, you're right. They have to plan for several different scenarios. No decision is going to be all about revenue and no decision is going to be all about safety. I know we like to say things like safety first. Well, as safety first, you wouldn't have college football to begin with because
Agreed.
There's inherent dangers in it. That's all part of the calculation that is being done. And so what is the compromise? It's not black or white. It's a gray area in between. And that's going to be a tough decision for all the schools are going to have to make, not only college football, but professional sports are dealing with the same thing also. All right, that is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to join us next time.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games for your first 24 hours. That's code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.